right. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the comfort that you give us through your word, through your spirit, through your son. Thank you, dear God. And Lord, I look to you now and need your filling. Help me, Father, to just proclaim the truth of your word this morning and teach and preach that which we have from your word today. Help us to be encouraged to apply it to our hearts, to follow you as we should, being your sheep and you being our shepherd. And pray for my dear wife for laying the message in sign, fill her with your spirit also, and ministering to our deaf folk here this morning. And I thank you for the word that's gone forth already, teaching the children and adults as well, Father, to help us to understand your word and to draw closer to you. And Lord, we want to be ever learning and coming to the knowledge of the truth and applying it to our hearts. Father, I pray that you would help us in that. Help us to be believers in a church that won't have to be ashamed, Lord, when you return. And Father, that will only happen as we continue to look to you and to draw closer to you. Father, may your word ever go forth from this place. And we pray for lost souls to be saved, lives to be changed, Christians to be more in your image and edify your church today. And Father, we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we saw last week, we looked at the rod, and we saw that the rod is emblematic of the overarching final authority and power of the Word of God. And certainly it is a blessing to have this Word in a day when men have no wisdom to direct their lives. They've never had it apart from God. And we need this blessed written word of God. And it brings such comforts to our heart to know those four words, thus saith the Lord. What greater direction in life than can we get than from the Lord, our Creator? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Just to what? Rest. There's that comfort. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. We were listening to Adrian Rogers on our way here this morning, my wife and I, and he was talking about those promises. He said, these aren't plaques to hang on our wall. They're promises to take to the bank. And I like that, amen. We need to be comforted in these things. The Word of God is unchanging. and eternal.
Therefore, the shepherd's sheep are secure in a no-so salvation.
In a no-so salvation.
We know the shepherd will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:5. We know that every believer has been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Romans 8:29. We know that whom he justifies, he also glorifies. Romans 8:30. And we know that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Romans 12:2. All these things we rest on. We find that comfort in. So there is this irreplaceable comfort in knowing your eternal home. What put a price on that? I mean, the fact that you're born again here today, someone can ask you, you know for sure where you're going when you die? I certainly do. I'm going to heaven. Amen. Most people we talk to, they say, I hope so, or I think so, or how can you know that? Well, if it wasn't a gift, I wouldn't be able to know it. Amen? Neither would you. It's a gift. A no-so salvation. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm justified by faith. I'm getting to heaven on the righteousness of God, which is apart from works, apart from the law. It wasn't works I do. It was works that are done for me by Jesus Christ. By the way, that's the only way anybody gets in. And so Paul could write in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be what? Present with the Lord. When I'm absent from this body, I'll be present with the Lord. If you're born again here, and by the way, that's the only stipulation. If you're born again here, when you're absent from the body, you'll be present with the Lord. That's a wonderful comfort, a wonderful comfort. There are many deep wells of comfort in the Word of God, which is our rod we saw last week. Deep wells of comfort in the authoritative Word of God. We went through some of those. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Certainly they did give us that hope there. When Romans 15:4 talks about comfort of the Scriptures, it uses a word that means it's a persuasive discourse, it's a stirring address, it's a calling near, a summons to come near. The word calling us near. The word persuading us to walk with the Lord. We're thankful and comforted by the rod of the shepherd. Philip Kelly moves on. He talks about the shepherd's staff, which is what we'll see this morning. And Philip Kelly says in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, Philip Kelly says, some of the most moving memories I carry with me from Africa and the Middle East are of seeing elderly shepherds in the twilight of life, standing silently at sunset, leaning on their staves, watching their flocks with contented spirits. Somehow the staff is of special comfort to the shepherd himself. He recalls that peaceful scene of watching those shepherds caring for their flocks, leaning on their staff and during those sometimes long and weary treks, leaning on that staff for strength and support. And so the rod is the power and authority, represents the power and authority of the shepherd as he reveals to the sheep the paths that they must follow. The staff illustrates the grace and comfort of the Holy Spirit as he helps us to follow the shepherd. You see, the Spirit helps us to understand this, doesn't he? The Spirit helps us to follow this, doesn't he? The staff was an instrument of comfort, deliverance, and gentle guidance. So in addition to the irreplaceable comfort of the rod, the Scriptures, Christ also sends the Holy Spirit of God to live in our hearts indefinitely. I think about that. What a blessing. After all, he is the God of what? All comfort. Not only sends the word, the exhortation of comfort, but he sends the one to help us apply that and come to experience that, to live in our hearts indefinitely. He's the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Of all comfort. It's interesting, we talked about those scriptures in Romans. They are given for our comfort. It's the same word, different form, as the word given for the Holy Spirit. One's a verb form, one's a noun form. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, Jesus says, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He said to his disciples, John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter. That word means another of the same kind. Another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's comforting that our Lord would do that. Comforter comes from the same word. So the Scriptures are a call to comfort. It's an exhortation to apply those things. The Comforter is the Comforter who comes alongside us to help us understand those things and to empower us to apply those things to our hearts and lives. So the rod is emblematic of the comfort we have in his authoritative precepts and promises, the Holy Scriptures. The staff is emblematic of the comfort we have in his very person and presence, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you everything you need to know and do and everywhere you need to go. And by the way, I'm coming down to go with you. I'm going to live inside you and enable you and help you to understand. And I'll be with you every step of the way. What a God. What a shepherd. How thankful we can be. A few things just to learn about the staff that we can apply and know
today in our Christian lives. Number one, the staff was used to draw the sheep together. The staff was used to draw the sheep together. Philip Keller writes, when the shepherd would see a newborn lamb separated from his mother, he'd gently lift the newborn lamb with his staff and bring it to his mother. This would keep his own scent off the new one and decrease the possibility of the ewe rejecting that little one in the very beginnings there. The staff is used by the shepherd also to draw individual sheep unto himself. Some sheep are maybe more shy than others and would tend to maybe keep a distance from the shepherd. And shepherd at times use that staff to draw them near. And of course that shepherd, much like the rod, would take that staff and he'd fashion that just the way that he wanted it. He'd have a crook on the end fitted for his sheep where he could pull them along and draw them to him. He'd fit it for his hand. It'd be a custom-made staff as the rod was a custom-made rod, drawing the sheep to himself. I'm often humbled by the Word of God. It's not an easy thing to teach and preach the Word of God. I spoke in an earlier message, I mentioned that the Bible doesn't mention that the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And then Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So we have the Father drawing and Jesus drawing. And I mentioned, I don't know of any place where the Scripture mentions the Holy Spirit drawing. And I still don't. But that doesn't mean he doesn't. You see what I'm saying? In studying this, came across this verse here. It was mentioned in Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say what? Come. I guess that's the kind of drawing, isn't it? See, this thing about God and the Trinity, we really don't understand it. we have so many phrases for it, and so we think we've really got it down, but we don't. And if we get to a place where we're trying to separate them out too much, we're going to find ourselves in trouble, aren't we? And have to backtrack. I've had to do that a few times about something, kind of the way I'm doing a little bit right now. I would say it would be fair. Now what I said was true. It doesn't say the drawing, but I don't want to leave the insinuation also that he doesn't draw, because it seems to me saying come, that's a drawing, isn't it? Certainly it is. So he does this, does some drawing, and we want to be careful about trying to separate the Trinity too much. It's an amazing, amazing truth. I was thinking about the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Who did that? Well, Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. God the Father dead. God the Father raised him from the dead. John 2:19. Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days what? I will raise it up. Jesus raised it up. And by the way, I couldn't find any place where this specifically says that the Holy Spirit raised him up, but I'm keeping my mouth shut. I'm not saying he didn't, okay? I mean, the closest place that come to it that I found was Romans 8:9. Paul says, and boy, he mixes it all here. The Trinity being one, he uses several different titles, talks about the Spirit, talks about Christ, and he goes back and forth. He says in Romans 8:9, he says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit.
if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. So if you're saved, God looks at you as being in the Spirit in a certain way. He says, now if any man have not the, he says, well, let's go a little slower, Romans 8:9. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Then he continues, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, where are you going, Paul? Who are we talking about here? Same one, same God. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you're in the Spirit. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Him. Then he goes on to say, and if Christ be in you, okay, we went from Spirit of God to Spirit of Christ, now we're talking about Christ. He didn't even say, if Christ be in you, what? The body is dead because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. And then he does this. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's the closest it comes. It says the Spirit of Him that raised Him up. But who raised Him up? Clearly says the Father. Clearly says Christ did. So it doesn't actually come out and say it right there either. But God's one, isn't He? And we can bet the Spirit was involved in that, just as He was in creation. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Remember that in Genesis? He's there. God the Father. One time I was mentioned about the Spirit dwelling in us, and I mentioned that I didn't know any place where the Bible says that God the Father dwells in us. And it wasn't. And it was that same, I think it was that same next day in my devotions, like, oh, well, I got to go backtrack again here. And Ephesians 4:6, we worship one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, what? And in you all. And by the way, that's the only place where it just says clearly that God the Father dwells in you. In that verse there. We worship a mighty triune God. And He's beyond our understanding. And so Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. He draws us, the communion of the Holy Ghost, He draws us together. That communion, that likeness. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I remember when I got saved, heard the gospel, and I can't explain the load that was lifted. I was trying to do my salvation before that. God had broken me about my sin, but needed to get me to someplace where I could hear the gospel more clearly. When I heard it responded, the Spirit immediately bare witness that something happened in me. I didn't know what, but I know the heavy burden I had before I trusted Christ was lifted. And something had changed. And I all of a sudden had hope. All of a sudden had hope. The staff is used to draw the sheep together, to have that unity. Keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, the Bible says. It's used to draw us together. Brother Dennis was talking this morning less about us laboring together, for the striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's the Spirit that unites us. What does the Bible say? We have the mind of Christ. You know, when you have a common mind, there's a unity. There's a drawing when you have things that you love that are the same, things that you hate that are the same, things that you want to do that are the same, that draws you together. That's what the Holy Spirit does when He changes our mind and our hearts. So the staff is used. I went through the whole point one and didn't even give you the point. The staff is used to draw the flock together. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. And then number two, the staff is used to guide the sheep. Philip Keller writes, the shepherd will use his staff to guide the sheep. He doesn't strike the sheep with a staff, but he places it alongside the sheep and applies just as much pressure as is needed to turn the sheep in the direction that he wants them to go. That's a beautiful picture. You see a shepherd walking along, and sheep's kind of straying and going, looking at another path, heading it, reaches out his staff there and just puts it up alongside the sheep's fleece. There's a little pressure. Finally, that sheep feels that, and turns to the right or to the left, gets back in where the shepherd wants him to be. I remember in my struggle when I was trying to quit smoking after I got saved, I see a good illustration of both the rod and the staff in my own life. The Word of God came quickly to my heart. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. And that rod came quickly to my heart. I was under great conviction. I had a smart pastor. I'm sure he made an exception. I have been growing in the Lord, and he wanted me to help teach in Sunday school. He had me in his office. He did that, and I said, "Well, you know, I still smoke." He says, "I know. God will work that out." What he meant to say was, "God will work you over." I don't know how he knew that he was going to do that, and it wouldn't be that long after that. And I probably wouldn't do that here. That's probably not going to happen. But I tell you, the Spirit worked me over about that smoking. I remember teaching the kids. We had the flannel graphs, you know, that we'd make the back and we'd stick the, and I'd stick, you know, the Marlboro man up there, you know, smoking's bad, you know. And the Spirit's going, you know, I can barely walk by the end of the day, you know. It's working me over. I wanted to quit so bad. I'd take a pack of cigarettes and I'd smoke one, and then I'd stick it under the faucet and I'd rip it in half and throw it in the trash. My sweet wife, she said, "Honey, you're going to have to either smoke or quit, but we can't afford this, okay?" What are they now? Like $6 or $7 a pack, or maybe more. I don't know. We can't afford this. And I just really struggled, really struggled, really struggled. That was the rod. And then that still small voice said to my heart, "You see, I was ashamed of that, and I wanted to quit, and it was bothering me." And it was like God, I didn't hear any audible words or anything, but it was like God said, "You know, you weren't like that before you got saved. You know why you're like that? Because you are saved. Because my Spirit lives in you. That's why you're different." See, I had a problem with eternal security too, and the doctrines that I'd learned before I was ever saved. God was dealing with them both. And the Spirit, and you know what the Spirit was saying to me? In a loving and gentle voice, "You're struggling. You're mine. I got you. I'm in you." Long story short, you know when I was able to quit smoking? When I wanted it bad enough. That's my own assessment. When I finally got to the place where I really wanted it bad enough, God delivered me. That's my view of the whole thing. But I got that comfort along the way, because that shame was there. I knew I was saved. Romans 6:21 talks about our old life. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Amen. There's that staff. It's okay. You're struggling, but I'm with you. I'm with you. It's because you're saved it's because you're mine that you're miserable right now and doing this. And he used that to comfort me. The staff and the rod working together to bring me closer to him. You see, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, John 1:14, full of grace. There's the staff. And truth. There's the rod. And he uses them both. By the way, I'm so thankful that grace came first. I'm so thankful that of his fullness have all we received what? And grace for grace. Grace heaped upon grace, heaped upon grace. Because I needed it then and I still need it now. Amen. That throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that they may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I might not run to that throne so quickly if it was a throne of righteousness. I might not run to that throne so quickly if it was a throne of holiness. I might run to that throne so quickly if it was first and foremost a throne of judgment, but God says, I got grace for you. It is a holy throne. It is a righteous throne. Christ will judge one day, but God says, you're mine. You can come to me in grace. Grace upon grace. God's goodness. Our shepherd's staff. This is one way the Spirit bears witness to my heart. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8:16. I knew I was a child of God because I was so miserable and continuing in my sin that I knew was wrong. Never bothered me before. Bothered me then. Philip Keller writes, sometimes I have been fascinated to see how a shepherd will actually hold his staff against the side of some sheep that is a special pet or favorite, simply so they are in touch. They walk along almost as though it were hand in hand. Both the shepherd and the sheep seem to enjoy and revel in this close communion. That sheep, that favored sheep, just feel that staff, just laying alongside, just enough for him to feel it. My shepherd's right there. And you know, the Spirit of God has been given and sent that you and I, that he might guide us into all truth. John 16:13. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. The Bible says, John 16:13. I like this. Isaiah 30:21. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, what? This is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. There's that Spirit. So close. So gentle. That still small voice. This is right. This is the way. The encouragement for us is, while an earthly shepherd may actually favor some of the sheep above the others, we can be sure that our great shepherd and our good shepherd desires close communion with every one of us. And by the way, not a one of us more than the other. He wants us all close to him. He wants to be walking along with that staff, resting upon us, and both he and ourselves enjoying that constant connection. One of the things I've begun to pray more often in my Christian life, I've noticed this: God, let me sense your Spirit today. Let me hear that voice behind me. In any little decision, God, help me in this. What do you want? I want that. You know, we read about some of the saints and the great missionaries. I want to know that communion. You know, God just direct. God walking with you. You know, I come to the garden with him. While the dew is still on the roses. And the joy, you know, we share as we tarry there, you know. He walks with me and he talks with me. Tells me I am his own. You see, he doesn't have any favorites. He loves all his children. I think about Ephesians 4, 32 and then following. He speaks to all of us, be kind one to another, tenderhearted. Remember the staff is that gentle thing. Forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. He's not saying be followers of God so you will be dear children. He's saying you are dear children, so be followers of God. Because he loves you dearly. He loves me dearly if you're born again. Jesus said, that we've shared this in the last lesson, that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Folks, God can't love us anymore. If you're a Christian, God can't love you anymore. By the way, what more does he have to prove of his love? He's got nothing left to prove of his love. Calvary proved it all, didn't it? That was the greatest act of God's love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends, much less his enemies. God's got nothing left to prove regarding his love, his faithfulness. He poured it all out in Christ. For God so loved the world, he packaged up his love, that he gave his only begotten Son. Here is all my love right here. And whosoever what? Believeth in him. That's the hand of faith that reaches out and receives the love. You see, you can receive God's love, or you can reject it. God hands it all to us in Christ. Here's all my love. Please receive it. The sad thing is, love can be spurned, can't it? We don't have to love people that love. We don't have to love back people that love us, do we? Nor does God make us. He hands to his love to us in Christ and says, receive it. Receive my love. And then when we do, then we learn to love him by that very spirit that he gives us. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's going to watch over us, folks. He's going to take care of us. Everything is of true value. He won't hold with anything that we need to glorify his name, to have that full life, that life more abundant right now. So our lives focusing on him ought to be, have the same focus as the Apostle Paul. You know what he said? Here's what my life's all about. If God leaves me here, here's what I want to do. He says, it's that I may know him. Paul says, when I walk along, I want to feel my shepherd's staff leaning on my fleece, like we're walking hand in hand. That I may know him, Paul writes, the power of his resurrection. By the way, the fellowship of his sufferings. Well, Dennis was talking about that this morning. I don't want to run from sufferings that Christianity would bring me. I don't want to be quiet about Jesus just because people may persecute me if I speak. No. The fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He died for us. And he rose again. What love. Paul says, I'm going for it. He says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You know what he was saying? Paul was saying, I know God's going to glorify me. I know that. When I am resurrected, I will be glorified. I will be like Christ. But I also know he's put his spirit in me now, and I can be as much like Christ as I want to be, or as close to Christ as I want to be right now. And Paul said, I'm going for it. I'm going for it. What he's saying, when it comes to knowing Christ, he says, I want there to be as small a gap as possible left in knowing him when Christ transformed me. I want to cover as much of that territory right now by his spirit, by his power, and by his word as I can right now before he transforms me. That's open to us all. Then thirdly and finally, the staff is used to deliver the sheep from trouble. From trouble. Sheep can be stubborn. We get into trouble, don't we? We have that beautiful rod, tells us the truth. Authority doesn't change, tells us the way for sure. Many comforts in the Scripture. The Holy Spirit living in our hearts to help us along the way and help us understand. And after that, boy, we just walk the straight and narrow, don't we? No. Even with all that, what happens? We still go our own way sometime, don't we? We still stray, don't we? We still get a little stubborn sometime, don't we? Philip Keller says about sheep being stubborn creatures, sheep often get into the most ridiculous and preposterous dilemmas. I've seen my own sheep greedy for one more mouthful of green grass, climb down steep cliffs where they slipped and fell into the sea. Only my long shepherd's staff could lift them out of the water, back on to solid ground again. He says, one winter day, I spent several hours rescuing a ewe that had done this very thing several times before. Her stubbornness was her undoing. But he said, the only hope for my sheep was my staff. That gentle reaching down, that crook in that staff to be able to pull that sheep up. Can't throw the rod at it down there. Not going to help. Needs what? That grace to get back, doesn't it? Needs that grace to get back to the truth. That living one, that Spirit. I think of how Jesus demonstrated that in his ministry with his disciples. Peter heard a lot of the Word of God. Peter, we understand, was the leader of the bunch, pretty much. And Jesus is walking up to them. He happened to be walking on the sea, and it was stormy, walking up to them in their boat. They were going just where God had told them to go. And you remember what Peter did? Lord, if it be thee, bid me come to thee on the water. Remember what Jesus said? One word. Come. Come. Peter stepped out of the boat. So let's not be too hard on Peter. Most of us might not have done that. Peter stepped out of the boat. Started walking on the water. But what happened? The Bible says in Matthew 14:30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, aren't you glad Jesus didn't, as he's walking toward the boat, see Peter go, blip, 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 blip. See what you get from unbelief, folks? He didn't say that to the believers in the boat, did he? Poor Peter, you know. No. He reached out the hand. And as he's pulling them out, why did you doubt? Helping his unbelieving disciple. His disciple who got his eyes on everything around him rather than the power of his Lord. Helping him all the while with his hand. Pulling him out. Peter didn't stop there, and we often don't either. there in the garden, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. I'll never be offended. How dare for you, Peter said. Remember that? If all men be offended, yet will I be offended. He said it so much, he got all the other disciples repeating the same thing. We never do it either. Well, guess who was the first one to deny him? Three times, just like Jesus said. Just like Jesus said. And when Jesus rose again, he sent an angel with a message. And the message was this. Peter, remember, he was heartbroken. He went out, wept bitterly. Mark 16:7. The angel says, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. You see, Peter had gone astray. The angel didn't have a message for Peter. He just said, what? Jesus wants to see you.
he was coming to him personally again. First it was a hand out of the water. Now it's, oh, tell my disciples and Peter. He's really struggling now. He needs to hear his name pulled out of the group. He needs to know I'm coming to him. When he comes, he's going to see me there. I'm going to be there.
And then there was one more time. You remember in John 21, Peter got kind of tired of the ministry and decided to go back to fishing. Decided to take six of those disciples with him. And they're out there in the boat and fishing all night, and they catch nothing. And somebody appears on the shore early in the morning. And who was it? It was Jesus. Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. John knew it was the Lord. And Peter jumps in, swims to shore. They bring the boats to shore. John 21:9. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. John 21:12. And Jesus said to them, come and dine. And none of his disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. And so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He went there to be with him again. You say, wait a minute, preacher. You're talking about the Holy Spirit being our staff. That was Jesus with Peter personally. Yeah, but it was different then. The Holy Spirit hadn't been given like he'd be given now. See, now he's our comforter. Now Jesus says, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I'm going to send him in an indwelling way that you haven't experienced yet, as far as never leaving and nor forsaking you. He'll be living in you. He'll be your comforter. Jesus, the comforter, was embodied in Jesus at that time. He was with them physically. He's not with us physically now, is he? And you know what Jesus himself said? John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. You know what that means? Better. It is expedient for you that I go away. That was probably hard for the disciples to receive. Why is that? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I've got something, Jesus said, better for you than me being here in my body at this time right now. Of course, when he spoke at that time, he was not in his glorified body. I've got something better for you. The Spirit's going to be in every one of you. What are you saying is, it's going to be me living in you. And I'll always be with you. I won't have to call for you. You won't have to call for me. I'll be right there, and we can always talk just like that. He said it'd be better. The gentleness. That staff that draws us back. And so we had the memory verse for today. Isn't that what we need when we go astray? Oftentimes the rod's already, especially if you learn the scripture, the rod's done its work. Faithful brethren have spoken the truth to us in love. There's that grace and staff part of it. Faithful brethren have spoken the truth to us in love. And now what do they need? Grace to be drawn back. Love without truth is what? Too hard. Love without truth is too soft. Truth without love is too hard. Galatians 6:1, and I'm done. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, when we go astray, when we're one of those sheep that goes off the path, what does our Lord tell us? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, I want to be spiritual. What do I need to help a believer that's strayed? Restore such an one in, what's it say? The spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What's he saying? Make sure you're gentle with that one.
Don't forget, you're made of dust too. I'm made of dirt too. And but for the grace of God, I could go astray just like that believer did. And so God says, have that in the forefront of your mind when you're trying to help that brother or sister back in line. But except for by my grace, it could have been you. Could have been me. And that'll help us be the staff reaching out in that gentleness and truth and concern that God can use to bring a wayward sheep back into the fold. Praise the Lord. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for being our shepherd. And God, we understand that your Son, Christ Jesus, died for us and rose again. And everyone in here has heard the gospel multiple times as I look around. And Father, we know that salvation is received simply by realizing we're sinners on our way to a sinner's hell unless we ask you to forgive us our sins, unless we believe that your Son died for us and rose again. And unless we follow that instruction in the scripture, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that's Jesus, shall be saved. We just call on you to receive a free gift. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Father, should there be one in here that have to say they've never truly done that, they could do that now. One sinner in the Bible said, prayed a prayer like this, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he was, but the Bible says, went down to his house justified. Father, if we just believe in Christ, believe in your love, we're sorry, made sorry for our sins by your Spirit, and we want forgiveness. It's that simple, calling upon you to forgive us and save us. Save us from our sins. Give us the gift of eternal life. Forgiving our debt. Paying our ransom, Father, it can be done so easily. I pray if anybody has any doubts, that they just do that. Talk to you directly. Receive you by faith as best that we know how, asking forgiveness. And God, for all who have, we are your sheep now, and we always will be. You've never lost a one once we're in your flock, Lord. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to follow you closely, that we not wander away and find ourselves in troubles that just we ourselves have created by wandering. We know that troubles will come even if we follow you closely. Persecution will come, as we learned this morning and often from your word. We'll have troubles living a godly Christian life, that's for sure. Father, we don't need a whole lot of extra troubles we might run onto if we just keep straying from you. Father, help us not to do that. Help us to listen to your loving and powerful hand and to walk with you as a dear sheep would walk with the shepherd. And Father, to enjoy that communion and that assurance that comes along with that. And Lord, that ultimately we'd be able to follow you faithfully by your power, by your strength, by your word. And hear those words we long to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I thank you for this church. I thank you for this fellowship that we have together. I thank you for the promise of your coming. And may our hearts be longing, looking forward to that, and more ready for that as the days go by, as we grow more in the likeness of thee. Father, we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.